Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at fivestarchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second December show of Dr. Homebrew. I'm your host, Jason Petros.
Yeah.
And with me, my two master BJCP judges and all-around good boys, Brian and Keith.
That's us, yep.
What's going on, fellas?
The second show is always the funnest, too, just so you know. Like, you listen to every other show, and like, oh, a show starts to get boring. Just wait for the next show, because it always gets more fun.
I hear you. I hear you with that.
I don't know.
We have a good show for you, of course.
And our advice gets worse, too.
Well, that happens. That just happens in general. Brian will be on the phone. Not Brian, but another Brian. Not our Brian. Some other Brian with an Irish red.
You could call in if you wanted to. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. That'd be great. You're just sitting right there. This is my, I feel like Irish red is a style we don't see a whole lot.
I like... Yeah, I don't know that we've... Have we ever had one?
I want to say maybe once. Back.
Maybe once, yeah.
Now I do want to look, dude. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Irish.
IRA. Like, not a lot of brewers make those. It's like...
This is the only one that has at least been submitted on the form out of 100.
I love that.
124 submissions. This is the first.
How many of them were IPAs, JP?
Oh my god, too friggin' many of them.
73.
For me, it was like, how many of them were Russian Imperial Stouts? And as much as they're all fun, like especially the ones that people send in. Like, there's an extra bottle. I always keep it at home, and I'm like, it's always fun opening it up on, like, you know, brother-in-law comes over, breaks out a cigar. I'm like, oh, I have this Russian Imperial Stout. Like, it goes well with that sort of thing, but.
Honestly, it looks like we've had more stouts in general than we have IPAs.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I'm not going to remember the 74th stout versus the 75th that we've had on the show, but I will remember that goddamn Grodzinski.
Grodzinski. Dude, that thing started me down a friggin' rabbit hole that I don't even know how to get out of. I love that beer. Anyway, before we get started, I do want to thank you. I do want to thank you, Five Star Chemicals, for being a sponsor of this show. They bring you this show each and every time you hear it. So that's twice a month. Or if you're binging, then that's probably every hour and a half of your life.
We'd like to thank you for keeping our brewing shit clean.
That's true. They do keep your brewing shit clean. They keep it sanitary as well. PBW, Star Sand. And they are good people. They're good friends of the show. And we enjoy their product. We love them a lot. And you will too.
I buy it by the bucket, man. PBW by the bucket. The 5-gallon pail. I honestly do. I buy it by the bucket. And gallons by the Star Sand as well. I'm not kidding at all. And I can go on stories about Star Sand. And I actually use RO water with Star Sand. And try to be California friendly and use RO water when I make my Star Sand so it lasts a little bit longer.
You know, I started using distilled water with my Star Sand just because of you.
Yeah. Because of Keith?
It stays clear.
Yeah.
TV, what do you want over there? I'm not sure what I'm giving you right here. What's the first beer we're doing tonight?
The Irish Red.
Okay.
Young man. And to that end, we have Brian on the line. Brian, are you there?
Let's open the second
one. What's up,
boys?
What's going on, dude?
Nothing. I just figured I'd send you a nice Irish red because you don't get that every day.
Brian, that's with true. An I or with a Y?
With an I, the proper spelling.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Brian, where are you joining us from?
From Pennsylvania.
Where in Pennsylvania?
Just outside of Hershey.
Okay. The chocolate capital. I'm kidding.
Same place that makes chocolate.
I'm from Pennsylvania, so I'm familiar at least a little bit. Like, I think most people don't understand the size of Pennsylvania. People are like, oh, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh are right next to each other, and like, no, that's like 5 hours apart. But
right.
But I'm from Pittsburgh. But,
I'm getting a little chocolate in this beer now. It's weird. I wasn't before.
Well, that's cool, man. How long have you been homebrewing?
Let's see. We'll call it 5 years. I've been doing... I started out 5 years ago doing like hard lemonades, and then did that for a couple years and moved into beers after that.
Make some good hard lemonade? I mean...
The first couple were questionable, but, you know, you learn.
Just like beer, dude.
From lemon, so, lemon juice pre-bought or, like, squeezed? How did you... Like, yeah.
It was, like, lemonade concentrate. Yeah. So sometimes I would do, like, straight lemonade or lemon and lime or lemon and strawberry and take... about six of those frozen concentrates with a little bit of dry malt extract, you know, some water in a slimline 2.5 gallon water container with some champagne yeast, and that was about it.
Right on. I have a Meyer lemon tree in my backyard that produces like mad, and it would be fun to do something interesting with it. They're all ripe right now, man. It's December here. we're good to go. I should bring a bunch of them to work tomorrow.
Yeah, Brian's probably like December. The lemon tree still has actually fruit on it. What the hell?
Yeah, there's like freaking, nothing growing here.
Yeah, 20 degrees here. We're all dead.
I know. Yeah, well, I'm from Minnesota, and it was the weirdest thing when I moved out here. Like, there's green leaves on the trees.
It's the land of plenty out here, guys. You didn't know that. All right, let's start with Brian's Irish Red, and let's start with Keith.
Let's start with Brian.
Let's start with Brian.
Yeah, Brian's
Irish Red.
I mean, you should start with Brian.
Yes, Brian. We should.
True.
Sorry, JP.
Hey man, that's fine.
So we had a nice Irish Red 15A in the not new guidelines anymore, but it's in the aroma. I got a nice, rich, toasty, and biscuity malt. A note in there, cleanly brewed, very restrained esters, which I found kept it out of the way of the malt. I have to say we're judging it a little bit warm, so my impressions are colored. I'm trying to adjust, but I think we'll do okay. I didn't get any DMS or diastol, which would stick out like a sore thumb with the temperature here of the beer. It's a nice, low, earthy hop. I did get a hint of some faint roastiness in the aroma. Probably from the darker malts being used to color the beer, and it is a really deep, rich, you know, appearance wise a deep copper colored beer. I mean, almost bordering on light brown, with a creamy head. Starts medium, you know, just kind of a tan color, light tan colored head. It faded pretty slowly, mostly finer bubbles. I gave it full points for appearance, even though it's a little on the darker side for style, but that's fine. Rich. In the flavor, rich malt, biscuity, and clean. Again, it's warm, so that's coming out a little more than I would want it to. But I could, you know, if it was colder, I can tell kind of what it would be like. And Keith was commenting how the finish is hard to get at. I think it finishes kind of medium dry to me, which is about where I want it, medium dry to dry. But it's the impression as warmer is just a, it's not sweet, but it's hard to get at. It doesn't bite the same way, but that's kind of into mouthfeel too. We'll get there. So the malt seems a little high as judged, but it's definitely balanced in the malt, but it finishes smooth. It's got a nice malty aftertaste, but not too rich. It's just that in between, just malty, biscuity, nice clean flavor that you want in an Irish Red, and it's, you know, boy, it's bold for an Irish Red, but this is the kind I would want. It's leaning towards the richer side for style, but I kind of like where it is. Very clean ale fermentation, low hops. It's, again, kind of an earthy presentation in there, but not overwhelming at all, just to balance. And low bitterness, very, you know, background, just supporting. Mouthfeel-wise, it's medium-bodied. Some of these, you know, the guidelines say you can have a little bit of diacetyl in here, a little slickness. I'm not getting that. There's no slickness. There's no butteriness. And I prefer it that way, actually. So no warmth, medium-high carbonation. It's pretty spritzy, but not to the point of being annoying. No astringency. It's smooth, but it's not, like, super creamy smooth. It's just... you know, it's not biting. It's just a pleasant beer on the palate. So it got a pretty high score there too for me. Overall, just very pleasant drinking beer. Most of the desired elements for an Irish Red Ale seems a bit big, but it could be due to the warmth of the judging temperature. Just seems nicely brewed. I would just say if you're using dark malts for color, just be sure to keep those restrained. And, look at the way you add them. I mean, you use you can use Gordon Strong's advice of not putting them through your whole mash if you want, just to get the color. I mean, sometimes when I've made like black IPAs and stuff, I'll use the Carafa, like as I'm running the beer off, just put a colander with a strainer bag below that and just run it through the darkest malts.
Do your runoff through that
color. Yeah.
Not even on top of the sparge.
Yeah, no, just put it separately where it's running out the mash. And
how does that work?
Into that. It did. It was great.
Brian's really mad. He's like banging on the thing.
I added a quarter ounce of the
I did
Carafa,
it.
And then I didn't want my black IPA to be too rich roasty, so I started with just about half the amount I wanted, and then I was like, color-wise, I need to add the other half, so I put it in the strainer thing, and it worked great.
Cool.
So, that's something you could do, but you don't have to do it my weird way. It's a nice beer. I gave it a 37. I thought it was a fantastic Irish Red Ale.
Awesome. Okay.
Cool.
Now back to Keith for the first time, for the second time.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of balked on going first here. Normally, I'd love to always go first, but Brian seemed like he was kind of gung-ho on this one, so I let him go. A lot of the
same
comments.
It's not every day you get to judge your own beer.
Yeah, toasty, light caramel, no hop, no alcohol, not a lot of alcohol nose. Overall, I thought it was really, really clean, no diacetyl, which, once again, it's one of the interesting things about the new style guidelines. Some diacetyl was allowed, and, do you really want to? You really want to mess with that? Do you want to mess with that? You know, like dragon, where you're like, oh, I'm going to bring some diacetyl into this and kind of stress the yeast and see what happens. I don't think I'd want to do that. So I think this is really great the way it is.
Yeah, if you had something that was just bordering on a little light, kind of faint hint of a butterscotchy note in there, it would be okay. But yeah, I don't want it. I don't want too much of that.
Yeah,
no, I want to keep that out.
Yep. Yeah.
Super dark, super. I use the word super, which is pretty cool. Super dark red, bordering on brown. Very little head. Doesn't look too carbonated. I guess that's. But I guess for this style, that's fine. The carbonation level. Flavor wise, a lot of things Brian said. A lot of biscuit. Some caramel. Low bitterness, which is appropriate. No hop flavor. I get just a tiny bit of acetaldehyde, but I get that in any beer that doesn't have hops. Sometimes I can kind of pick it out. It's always there, and I just have a super low threshold for that. So no problem there. I think it's fine. A little bit fruity, I would think, and I'm getting just a touch of oxidation cardboard character, but not over the top. Overall, toast is the flavor I'm tasting, which is appropriate, like that. And then just that little bit of roast with that as well. I think the esters are, let me taste it again just a tad high with the esters. But once again, we are drinking this at kind of room temp, which kind of throws you off a little bit. I get just a touch esters, a little bit high for the style, I think. But not much. I mean, this is a 14 out of 20 in terms of flavor. And as you'll see, the end score is pretty high.
That's what I gave it. I like the flavor.
Medium low body, medium low carbonation, touch of alcohol, no astringency. Overall, mouthfeel is pretty awesome. I really enjoy this beer. I thought the esters were just a little bit high. And I don't want to see that diacetyl either. I think that in the guidelines is not really necessary. And I think the roast is where you have the roast, I think, is fine. I don't know. For me, the whole Gordon Strong thing and whatever, it's probably blasphemy. It's I always worry about pH sort of things going on there, where you're you get a mash pH and then you throw dark malt in. Does it mess up your boil pH before that? Maybe not. I should talk to him about that and see that and more easily just actually test it and see what happens. So
yeah, do it one each way.
Yeah, and what happens is the pH actually changed in the final gravity of the beer. I'm sorry, the final beer and after fermentation, all those sort of things. There's ways to test that, obviously. I don't know why I'm talking about that when I'm giving the final score. The final score was a 36. Really, really, really enjoyable beer. Really, really love this as an Irish ale. I think you did a really great job on this.
Thank you.
I think you kind of nailed the style.
Yeah, and the roastiness comment, it is allowed, and it's funny. I was looking back and forth between the 08 and the 15 guidelines. They both allow a little diacetyl. They both allow a little roast in the flavor, actually, so there hasn't been too much change on this in actuality. So it's
I guess I do agree with Brian. Like the 1046 is the high end of the OG. I guess for one, this Brian, not
a little
not,
big.
Yeah, it feels like it may be a little big. Like just I don't know. Maybe it's the Final Gravity. It just seems a little big as well. But
let's find out. Well, I mean, the Final Gravity can go up to 1014.
Like, if you really wanted to, like it's one of those things. Like they list 1036 to 1046 and 1010 to 1014, but you couldn't go 1036 to 1014.
That'd
be kind of like
a big difference.
Like
a really sweet mild or something, right?
Yeah, I really liked it too. It definitely doesn't taste like most of the Irish reds I've had. Most of the Irish reds I've had are like more caramel malt, more crystal, you know, mouthfeel, like heavy, and this is has that almost like pale chocolate kind of roastiness, which I really enjoy. My only thing is it maybe gets a little thin at the end, kind of just goes tapers off a little bit.
I think it stays bold throughout, and I mean, you know, that's the thing with some of the commercial, the commercial Irish reds. Sometimes we'll use some adjuncts and things, and it's a lighter bodied beer. This is a little bigger, a little fuller, and a little more fun to me. It's it's on the bolder end of the style,
fuller and fun.
That's where I like it.
Yeah. All right.
Brian beer is always good. Brewer Brian, can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. All right, Brian. Well, let's talk a little bit about your beer. If you want to throw the recipe out, that'd be cool.
Sure. It starts off with just a little under 80% of Irish pale ale malt, which I actually got from Ireland.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was my inspiration.
That's going to make a difference. Yeah. Floor malted, good stuff.
A little bit less than 7% each of Crystal 20 and Crystal 60. There is just over 4% of rye and a little bit over 3% of roasted barley.
Okay.
As far as hops go, there's an ounce of East Kent Goldings at 30 minutes and an ounce of Willamette at 10 minutes, and that's it for hops.
Don't need much.
Traditional White Labs Irish ale yeast, and other than that, you know, pretty clean fermentation. Held it at just about, I think it was about 67 degrees the whole time for about 2 weeks.
Nice.
And it was interesting, Keith, to hear you pick up on the oxidation. This was actually brewed back in the end of June, so it's that old.
Nice. No, that's really good though. I mean, I think it wasn't like super oxidized. There was a little bit there, but like, yeah, for a beer that size, it's like that's pretty impressive that you know, the oxygen handling that you did going forward, you know, from that. Like, was it kegged or how did you go from here to a bottle? Was it just straight into bottles or what were you?
It was kegged the whole time, and I went into the bottle with a beer gun, actual beer gun, not JP beer gun.
one word, not two.
All right.
Yeah.
But as far as gravity, 1057 to start, it should have been 1017. It actually finished a little bit lower at about 1012. Wow. So it's a little over 5.5%.
Yeah.
You're pushing. You're definitely. You're beyond the guidelines of the style, obviously. But, yeah. You know.
I think if you just brought that down to earth a little bit, this would be 40 something point beer. Honestly.
Yeah, I think maybe next time mash it a little bit higher. I don't know what if you have any suggestions.
That Irish Ale's did a good number on it there, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, it did. You might
try
it right through it.
Fermenting a little bit cooler, too, just a touch, a couple degrees.
What temperature? Brian, I missed it. What temperature?
You said 67.
Yeah.
67.
I used to do mine like 64.
I'd go mid to lower 60s.
Yeah. I mean, how many times is it 67 in Ireland, I guess, is sort of the... obviously, there are jokes as well within that. But, like, you know, obviously, fermentation creates some temperature... rise, but in general, like beers of the British Isles, like Scotland, you know, whatever. I shouldn't say British Isles of Ireland, because they'll probably
it's kill, fine.
Someone will kill me.
You're over thinking
over there.
I'm mostly Irish too, probably, but whatever. But it doesn't matter. But so there. It should be cooler fermentations, I would think.
Did
like
you see the esters stuck out to you a little bit? Or
a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, fairly restrained.
Actually, underlined it for me. I thought it was a little bit high in the esters.
Yeah, they're. So. They were pretty restrained in the aroma, but you get a little bit of esteriness in the flavor, I think. Yeah. But it's good. I like
it. No, it's a really good job.
Keep the recipe, lower that temperature.
You're doing a good job of brewing beer. It's a matter of like, yeah, anything, your gravity was, you said 1057, so that was like way above the the guidelines. And that sometimes that's okay. Like sometimes you can do that and make a beer that is better that way. And a style like this is probably one of those that it actually works well, but Brian like called your bullshit pretty much. It was like, I knew that was a little bit higher.
Don't change the base malt. Don't change the yeast. You got it right there. The process is pretty good. Just fermentation temp and a little recipe adjustment, and you got a fantastic beer.
Thank you.
Any questions, Brian, for either other Brian or not Brian?
No, I
go by not Brian. That's cool.
No, I appreciate it, and I thanks for the feedback. Yeah, and
cool.
Rebrew it and send it again. We'd love to taste another one of these.
Yeah.
We'll do.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Cool. That was fun to get that one.
Yeah, that was a good beer.
Yeah, right. Beers like that are always
good luck
fun.
This round of shows here. We got a Kolsch coming up. That's, we get those once in a while, but those are always fun. Kind of an experimental thing, too, from what I understand.
Yeah, man. You know what's not experimental, though, Brian?
What?
The Smart Brew Water Testing Kit incorporates a revolutionary photometer system, which is the first and only one on the market with its own app. For home or commercial use, we all know it takes great water to make great beer. The only meter on the market that runs water tests with no math needed on your part. It connects via Bluetooth to your phone there. It's pretty neat. You can email the results to the rest of your brewing team or post your Facebook page and let your homebrew club get the lowdown on what's going on. You can test for over 40 different tests. Total alkalinity, chloride, calcium hardness, pH, sulfate, all that kind of stuff. Uses a patented, safe, and simple reagent testing method anybody can use, even me. So go to smartbrewkit.com. You can save $10 on either the standard or advanced Smart Brew Kit with code TBN10.
They're cool, and you can get your club to go in on one or whatever and just kind of, test each other's water on a Sunday, whatever. It's a pretty cool toy, pretty easy to use.
Yeah, it's fun. I really like it. I really enjoy it. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to try another beer, and it's going to be a good time. So hang on, everyone. This is Dr. Homebrew. We'll be right back.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, thanks for hanging out, everybody. Before we get to our next beer, I want to tell you guys about the Brew Guru app. It's still out there. It's still dominating. It's still making sure that you get enough enough craft beer in what? Well, it says Brew Guru, so... Brew Guru, so I can only do what it says. But, look, Bev, what comes with the Brew Guru... What you're helping to do with the Brew Guru is becoming an AHA member, and that's the best way to use it. So, in order to become an AHA member, use the link on our screen on our homepage, and then basically we get a cut of it, and then it's going to help train Bev to cross out the words Brew Guru on the live read sheet and put in member drive.
And actually, like, I just want to hear it. You guys argue. It's really fun to hear you guys argue.
We'll settle in, Brian.
Maybe it'll help you read the live reads that I print out for you.
But it says Brew Guru right there.
That's not the live read. That's just the show log.
You're supposed to know
these things,
JP. But the
show log says which one it is.
Whatever.
Thank you.
You get two free books.
You get two free books, everybody.
Two free books is good.
So if you're not an AHA member, Holmes, you should be one. And then if you're going to be one through our page, our site. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, you're walking around and it'll, you know, if you give the access to the notifications, it'll be like, hey, you get a discount here. Use your discount. Dummy. I mean, I was like, oh, okay, because that's almost what I need these days. I don't think of that stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, I can get a discount here with my AHA card. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just leave it in my pocket and like, oh, I leave. I could have got a discount there.
You need
the app will tell you.
You need a Hey Dummy app.
That's what I need.
And that's what this is.
Awesome.
All right. Let's get, let's get Greg on the phone. Hopefully this is the right Greg and not, I didn't pull a JP.
Hey, guys.
And do the other Greg, you know what I mean? We have a Kolsch, right? That's what Greg has. We have a Kolsch, which is another style. We don't get a whole lot of Greg. Are you there, man?
I am here. What's going on, JP?
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing all right.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you sending a Kolsch in. I was just lamenting the fact that a lot of people don't brew these anymore, and that disappoints me.
Yeah, I figured I'd try and send something else different. Actually, well, I had a whole bunch of ideas when I was trying to send something in, but since it took a decent amount of time for you guys to get me on, luckily I had a Kolsch, so I sent that one in.
Yeah.
And actually, I tried to set it up so that I could kind of, like, I have one here, and I wanted to make sure I could recreate what you guys were going to deal with.
Uh-huh.
My plan was to throw it in the back of my car.
Yeah.
And drive around for a
drive
while.
In the neighborhood.
Flash back and forth.
Smart.
But, yeah.
You can't really, like, recreate the dickness of JP holding the bottle. So that's the real problem.
That was my plan, but
yeah, somebody in your city that's like kind of just a jerk. Like, oh, that guy's a jerk. I want that guy to hold
that's
the bottle
right.
for a
I'm
while.
I'm the biggest
like,
jerk you've ever met in my entire life.
Not the biggest jerk. Like, there's bigger jerks.
Yeah.
We see but JP like, in the parking lot with like chains attached to these bottles, like practicing his nunchuck skills. He's like, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
He does.
All right, Greg, how long have you been homebrewing, man?
It's been a little bit over 3 years now.
3 years? Okay. And is this your first attempt at a Kolsch?
This is my first Kolsch.
Oh. Were you a little nervous brewing it, or did you like, I got this, it's fine?
I guess a little bit nervous, but I don't know, man. I'm just making beer, so.
It's like, whatever. Oh, here's a style. I'll make it. Whatever. Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah, I realized maybe that was overthinking that question. Are you nervous because you got? Anyway, let's get to this. Let's get to this beer here, Keith. Why don't you go ahead and start us out, bruh?
Thanks, JP.
You're welcome.
Sorry about the whole like you know the biggest jerk in the city.
Hey, it's all right. Just go ahead and let's do this Kolsch.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Kolsch. I think I was told it had some different hops than a normal Kolsch would have, but we'll talk about that later. But the Mandarina Bavaria and the Hallertau Blanc. But for me, like on the nose, I got a fair level of esters. I got some red apple, just a faint touch of banana, and then a medium spicy hop with a low citrus, white wine, stone fruit sort of character. No diacetyl. I would say on the nose, like the esters were more than subtle. Like for a Kolsch, I'm looking for a pretty subtle nose, and I was getting a little more than subtle. Malt in general was kind of hidden. Like it was pretty low. I got a little light graininess there, but it wasn't a lot of sweetness from the malt on the aroma. Moving on, appearance, medium dark gold. I think this is pushing the boundaries of a Kolsch in terms of color. Pretty dark. I've been to, I'll say Cologne, whatever. I won't pronounce it properly, but this would be probably darker than any Kolsch that's in Cologne. But it's, right at the end. It's not like super dark, but it's pretty dark for that. Clarity is awesome. It looks really, really pretty. It is brilliantly clear. And the head is, there's a good amount of head retention, on the ring of the head, but yeah, it's not awesome on that, but yeah, looks pretty cool there. flavor-wise, I got a low sweetness, medium-high bitterness. It's dry and crisp. More and more I taste it, the bitterness sort of shines through. The style is supposed to be sort of dry and refreshing. I felt like it was a little bit heavy on the bitterness in terms of that. Sorry, just tasting again right now. Yeah, it feels a little harsh, a little harsher than a Kolsch should be. I want to see a little more malt presentation there. Got a lot of esters, got those apple esters again, red apple esters. They're pretty high. Very little, you know, in general, like that ester sort of dry finish overtakes the malt sweetness. Like to see a little more malt presentation in this beer, but the malt sweetness is pretty low. Finish is fairly, like I said, bitterness sort of forward, a little bit harsh. Hop flavor is, it's not crazy. Like I said, I knew about the Mandarina and the Hallertau Blanc, and hop flavor is medium low there. Yeah, a little bit of that, but not a ton. Thank you. Fairly astringent from that hop bitterness. Medium light body, medium carbonation. Style trademark is being really smooth, and I thought this was a little bit on the harsher side. So overall impression, a really good beer, a tasty beer. I think for a Kolsch, it's kind of hard to, it's a style that tastes like a very specific thing in terms of showing the malt and showing a little bit of fruitiness and showing just really, really restraint. And I think this one had a little too much esters in terms of the apple. And then also the bitterness was just, it hit me a little hard. Like it was not something that, I would say it was Kolsch proper. So the bitterness overpowers the malt sweetness and the delicate nature of the beer. For the esters, I would just make sure, you're fermenting properly and having the temperature wise that you want, and depending on the yeast strain, that sort of thing. And for the bitterness, I would look at, water profiles, and also, obviously the hops that you're using and when you're entering them into the beer and IBUs and all that sort of stuff. But I like the beer a lot. I just thought for a Kolsch, it was just, it wasn't delicate enough. It wasn't sensitive. So I gave it a 27 out of 50.
Okay. Brian, go ahead, man.
Right, yeah, and the nose, it's definitely malt forward. It's bready and, to me, kind of slightly wordy. Medium light DMS was coming through. I got a lightly herbal and slight orangey hop character at a pretty low level. Wasn't poking out too big there. No diacetyl or acetaldehyde. Appearance-wise, it's pretty clear. Clarity was nice. It has it's a rich golden colored beer. A little too dark. Came up with a low head at first and faded really quickly. I mean, it should start with a nice fluffy white head but it just faded quickly to a collar of finer and larger bubbles. Flavor wise, it was malty and bready up front with a slightly kind of honey-like. And I was thinking maybe a little bit of an oxidized character. I felt like the malt in a lighter beer like this, when it's starting to go, it doesn't hit papery right away. It goes through kind of a honey-like little thing when you just have a little bit of oxidation in there. Still, the hops and the water and the minerality gave it a nice, actually kind of a nice crisp, dry finish, which was one thing that I had really going for it. The malt and the hops lingered together in the aftertaste, so kind of an even balance there. And I thought it was a pretty clean ale. It's a little kind of, it's not like big fruity IPA or, American ale. It's, but it did have a little more of an ale-like, presentation to it. To me, it's a hybrid style. It should be like a ale lager, kind of, and crisp and delicate and refreshing. And the interesting hop notes kind of came through again in the flavor, but not too distracting there, really. Just a little bit of an herbal and a light citrus. I also felt that the bitterness was a little high, though, too. Seems like the beer has good attenuation, but then the bitterness pokes up a little too much, and it just kind of gets in the way. Mouthfeel-wise, it's a medium-bodied beer. Okay for the style, maybe a little big for the style, but that's just a little on the heavier side. Medium carbonation to medium low. I didn't get any warmth. Again, it's crisp. It's not creamy. There's no obvious astringency. So, you know, nice job on the sparge and keeping the harshness out of there. It's not harsh at all, really. It's a smooth beer. It's nicely palatable.
Correct.
But, it's somewhat crisp. It could be a little smoother, a little more delicate, a little crisper. But, so overall, it's a pleasant Kolsch. It has some of that, the elements that are desired, some of the crispness, especially. But, again, it's just a little bit of that, the maltiness and the DMS-like wordy quality to it was just pushing it up into just a little thick and not, you know, I don't know. Where would you put this? It's like almost like
Classic
American Pils or something. It's a little richer than you would get in.
Robust. It doesn't have
that. If you had a little corn like in this, it'd be like a classic American Pils, like a nice hearty. Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's still ale like, but it's, you know, I mean, it's more leaning towards different kind of beers than the Kolsch to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think like blonde ale or a cream ale or something like that.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
Another kind of an ale, but it doesn't have like a bigger. You know, it has the bitterness of maybe a American blonde ale. And that could be another place to put it, but, or you just, kind of rebrew it and keep working on that recipe, but it'd be interesting to know where you fermented it and, the yeast used with it. You want to keep a nice, especially if you use a lot of pils malt in these, you want to use a nice long open rolling boil to drive off that DMS precursor, the SMMS, and get that out of there. Just using hops that are not standard are kind of interesting, but they weren't really wildly detracting in this case. But just
they would have been fine.
Out of character. I thought the mandarina and the Pontar Blanc, it was an interesting little twist on it.
I think they're a fine pairing.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's more in the finish and the treatment of the fermentation of the beer.
Yeah.
And maybe the recipe a little bit. It's just a little bigger and less. Not as delicate as you want, like okay. Keith said. So I give it a 30. Actually, I thought it was a decent drinking beer.
Yeah,
it's a good Kolsch. It's you could drink a lot of that. Just to style, it's not quite there.
Okay, Greg. Let's go through your recipe if you wouldn't mind. If you have that available, that'd be cool.
Yeah, sounds good. So my computer that I actually did the recipe on, it actually stopped working, but I did happen to take a photo of the screen, so I do have the recipe.
Smart.
I will say that this beer actually is a little bit older. I brewed it back in August.
Ah.
So the malt bill is 8 ounces of honey malt, 8 ounces of Vienna, and 10 pounds of Pilsner. And then for the hops, I did, let's see, at 60 minutes, I did 5 ounces of Haltar Blanc. At 30 minutes, I did 5 ounces of the Mandarina Bavaria. And then I actually did a dry hop of 5 ounces of the Mandarina Bavaria and the Haltar Blanc. I wanted to kind of like bring these. This is the first time I've really used these hops, so when I figured with the Kolsch, they'd kind of come out a little bit more since it's a lighter beer.
Mm-hmm.
And, I kind of wanted to get a little bit of the flavor of those, so I put them in a little bit later. So it's not exactly too style for a Kolsch, but...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, How big of a batch? This is a big batch?
And then, what was that?
How big of a batch? How many gallons?
5 gallons.
Wow, that's a lot of hops in there.
It is.
Yeah, there's no way. It's a half ounce, sorry.
0.5, okay. How did you get 5 ounces in there and not have it come through like a bomb?
We were both like,
whoa.
Hey, I didn't put the dot when I wrote this down like 10 minutes ago.
Okay, 0.5. Let's go.
Decimal points, they're pretty much meaningless. Decimal points are not that important, really. You can put them wherever you want to put them.
I'm glad we clarified.
What did you ferment at?
Yeah.
And which yeast?
What temperature did you ferment at, and what yeast did you use?
6.8 degrees Fahrenheit.
yeah. So it was WLP 029, which is the Kolsch yeast, and I started off at 60 for 5 days. Some of this I'm kind of doing it from memory, like mm-hmm. I said that my computer crashed, so I didn't have all my notes.
Yeah.
But it was like 60 for 5 days, and then I slowly ramped up to 68 after another 3 days.
Okay.
Too low? I think it's a pretty low starting gravity, or starting fermentation. No, 60.
It's an interesting thing, like with that. Yeah. Like for Kolsch, you'd think like I want to make it colder, whatever I just said.
Colder.
But 029 is the Fru strain, and the Fru, whatever the hell, like a PG
Fru.
And they actually say 62 is where you should start. And I actually think I've found, like, unless you pitch a shitload of yeast to start, like, you're better off, like, you get less esters if you get a little bit warmer, which is really mm-hmm. a weird sort of thing. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
you always think, like, cooler makes less esters, fewer esters.
I just heard something like that on, I think it was the session, mm-hmm. like, the other day that
pitched
a little bit, you're starting to pitch a little bit higher because you don't want to pitch too low.
I just thought 60 was like maybe too much, but
that's close. Did it start off well? Did you have a good starter? Did it get rocking and rolling?
Yeah, the fermentation, everything went good on that.
Cool. Nice.
I will say one thing with this beer. This was the very end of my keg, and I moved it around when I went to bottle, and the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 bottles, I guess it had been sitting for a while because it was pouring really well and everything was tasting really good. And then when I went to pour to send you guys beer, since the bottom of the keg, the first 3 or 4, there was a little bit of shrub. So yeah. I was like, oh, I really hope one of these comes out clear. And it was like the last 3 or 4 were actually clear. And I was like, all right, good. So it might not be super bitter because I felt like they're going to be bitter because there was still a little bit of hop. Because I did, like I said, I did do a dry hop on this one.
Yeah. It was pretty clear. It came out pretty.
Could we talk about the?
I had one here, and I was like, "All right." So it still tastes a little bit more bitter than the ones I had before.
Yeah,
but it was as clear as what I was remembering when I had it on draft.
Could we talk about the honey malt?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that too.
I feel like the honey malt is kind of has that big mouthfeel, not big mouthfeel, but that big target in the palate that's kind of crushing a lot of these more delicate flavors.
It's probably what's making it darker, too.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know. I just like the honey malt. It mm-hmm. gives it, like, an extra sweetness, and it's just, I don't know, it's a nice character that I like, and I figured it would go pretty good with a Kolsch.
It depends what you want. I mean, it's not really a Kolsch at that point in time. It's kind of the problem.
Right, That's why I try to keep it low.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and that's exactly the thing, what Keith's saying is if you're brewing in what you like, that's cool, but it's not going to do well judged as a Kolsch. If that matters to you, then you need to change it. But if it doesn't matter and you just want to know, like, how it tastes to, you know, according to the judges and if there's any flaws or whatever, not dealing with the recipe, then that's a different story. But if you want to make a Kolsch, you got to kill that honey malt, I think.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. When I brewed this one, it wasn't for any competition or anything. I just wanted to try something different. Yeah. And then
I mean, I would honestly...
Like, hey, can you send some beer in? I'm like, all right, I got this one.
Yeah, because it takes so long for us to get back now. It's like the beer that people want to send in, they don't have anymore. Or you could even reduce it a little bit, too, because I think less is definitely more with stuff like that.
So what about the starting gravity? Did you say where you started?
It was 10.50.
10.50, yeah. And then minerals in your water? I mean, the water seemed pretty good, honestly. But
this one, I've just started getting into, like, adjusting my water more, and I don't have the exact, like, what I put in. I just aimed for doing a Kolsch, and I got as close as I could.
Okay.
No, I looked up online what you should put in a Kolsch, or what your water should be
where
for a Kolsch.
Where are you at? Where are we?
Aim for that.
Where are you living? Where are we talking to you from?
I'm in Maryland.
Maryland, another East Coaster. JP put all the East Coasters on the last.
That's all we get sometimes, dude. I can't help it.
It's the holidays, man. He's cool.
One day I'll do something right. Are you working tomorrow?
Or are you off tomorrow? Or how's this working out for you?
Luckily for me, tomorrow I actually have off.
See, there you go.
Nice. There you go. It's a holiday, man. Yeah. Come on.
Actually, I had a homebrew club meeting tonight, so I was like, oh, I get to have a couple beers before I go on the podcast.
Already lubricated.
All good.
Yeah.
You're much more sober than that Chris guy we talked to on the last show, yeah. I heard that one.
If I was on the earlier podcast, I probably would have been at the bar at our Homebrew Club still.
Do you have any questions for the guys, or did we pretty much cover everything?
I think you guys got it. Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for sharing the brew. It was an interesting
Thanks for sending that in, man. That was really nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool.
That's great.
All right, dude. We'll see you.
All right.
Bye.
See you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Kolsch is a tough one to nail, too. I've been to Cologne, too, and it's, I mean.
I've never been able to, oh, yeah, I have actually been able to nail it. I'm sorry, I forgot.
A couple best of shows, one brewed commercially.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do? Hey, guys, before the holidays are over, head over to grogtag.com. Use code BNARMY at checkout. You save 10% on your order of custom coasters, beer and wine labels, tasting mats, all that kind of fun stuff. Go over to grogtag.com. Nice people. And, you know, they can help you customize your stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Speaking of GrogTag, we're going to give us up $40 gift certificate to GrogTag. And, you know, yeah, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019. And get the five-star treatment today.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for sticking with us. You know, More Beer, always innovating. They have absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home. And you go to morebeer.com to prove that fact. But check out, if you're in the market, Keith, for a plastic conical that you can pressurize into, they have it. It's called the Fermentosaurus. You can pressurize at 35 PSI.
Crazy. I love that.
You can push all your gunk out the bottom. You can carbonate in it. You can do whatever you want. Or they have the Robo Brew. It's taking the brewing world by storm. I just made that up. But it's a self-contained electric vessel. You can mash, boil, cool in it, all that kind of stuff. Directly right in the thing. You don't need pumps. You don't need anything. So check it out. Go to morebrew.com for all that fun stuff.
I love their sparge arm. The new sparge arm they have. I really love that. It's I hadn't used it for years, and I saw it all the time, and then started using it last week, and just made everything so much smoother, and made my sparge, like, I used to use this sprinkling sort of thing, and it was boring holes in, and then I used the new sparge arm, and it was great. I was really. I wish I could have gotten a plug somehow, given it a plug and gotten it for free. But, you know, it was a really cool thing to use, and it made my brew day easier. Which,
you don't get everything for free just because you work on this show, man.
Yeah, I get nothing. And JP gets everything for free.
Yeah, I do. I keep it all myself. Yeah. I keep it. Actually, speaking of free, someone sent a can of beer in. I forgot. I just remembered about it. And I forget who the fuck it was now. This is the problem. Oh, the homie who was on from Missoula, Nick, I think.
Okay.
It's a fresh bong water hemp ale from Kettle House Brewing. Because occasionally we get beer sent in.
Fresh
from
bong
people,
water.
So
as opposed to fresh dirty old gnarly bong water.
Right. It was... Well, we're not even going to read that. Anyway, so, you know, you can crack the bong water open.
From Kettle House Brewing Company.
So, okay, who, Brian, you're the keeper of the score. Who wins the $40 grog tag?
That would be Greg.
Greg, all right, dude. Good job, buddy.
You know what? You brewed a nice, interesting twist on a Kölsch, and it was still very good.
It was still very good.
But now we can make it look pretty.
Let me make a note
or the next one look pretty.
Of this shit, because I'm going to forget.
Or make a beer sign that says... Screw the Brewing Network and hang it on his wall. You know, I mean, something.
He could definitely do that.
You can
that's
customize,
his money.
Right?
Sure. You can do whatever the hell he wants. What else he can do is go to www.whitelabs.com/thevault and check out their strains for home brewers. You can order, you can place your order for any of the strains that they have over there. Once each strain reaches 150 orders, White Labs will release the yeast and ship it directly to your doorstep. And if you're a professional brewer, for some reason, listening to this show, you can place an order of 1.5 liters through the yeastman.com site and check it out, and they will ship that as well. You can get access to all that kind of fun stuff. So check them out, whitelabs.com/thevault.
So the Bongwater beer has Canadian-grown hemp,
okay,
Montana-grown barley, and Missoula-grown love.
Oh, well, I like that.
It's 5% ABV.
I read something where maybe it was potentially only in California, but you can no longer put love as an ingredient on things because it's
in
not
California,
an actual thing.
You can't. Yeah, it's not a real tactile.
I thought it was pretty
ingredient.
Fun.
The thing I hate is nice. Like people say, like, oh, this has a nice blah blah blah. Like I was watching like fucking Top Chef last week, and it's like it has a nice like coriander, you know. Whatever the fuck, accoutrement to the top, you know, like whatever. Yeah, nice. Hey, fucking nice.
Does that mean your
nice
coriander was extra
everything.
Kind and friendly?
Nice. Fuck you. Sorry.
We're drinking this wit beer, which does have a very nice coriander thing.
Yeah, it's very. It's coriander, it's orange beer, it's chamomile as well. But,
okay.
You know.
It's very but it's yeast and like farty smelling. It's very farty.
So you think it's sulfury?
Oh, sulfury, yeah.
So that's probably the coriander I chose to use, which I could probably point out where I bought the...
Was not very nice, or was it nice?
No, I mean, that's a coriander thing. Mm. That's not good.
No, not nice.
But yeah, I mean, I think cereal mash, like, the body of it is what you need to do. Like, if anybody's making a wit out there, like, if you don't use the cereal mash with unmalted wheat, like, you're failing, and that's really tough here to make. Like, yeah, like, fucking using flaked wheat or something else, like, it just doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work? Yeah. What doesn't work about it?
You don't get the body doesn't really work well. I think the body on this is perfect. You can give the, if you want, the sulfur nose, and that's the coriander more than anything else. Like is the problem with that. But
I mean, the body is there.
It's a little chewy.
It's almost chalky even. But I wonder if that's just, you know, the yeast, the stupid
body
thing
is
to say.
Nice.
No, it's I think it hits the the check boxes for the body as it should.
Yeah, for sure.
I've done both before, and I find if you don't do a cereal mash, unmalted wheat, you just kind of get crappy wit.
And nobody wants that. Whip beer's already a weird style.
It is.
Okay, we're done, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing
stuff.
That beer, Keith.
We thanked everybody we were supposed to thank, and 5-star
we sure did.
And all the other people.
Yep, 5-star. Thanks to everybody who sent in beers. Thanks to you guys. I know you guys got
to
go because
Bevo.
It's, no thanks to Bevo. She's not even listening. She hasn't been listening to the show for the whole time, so whatever. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for listening to the show. If you have any feedback on it, that goes to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com, or you can email me at JP. If you want to be on the show, you're going to have to wait like 6 months. We no joke if it's a 6-month backlog, but get in your thing now. And then don't email me and say, I just brewed this thing, this delicate beer I want to get on. Because, I mean, you know, no offense, you're not going to get on for a while because we have so many people in front of you. So,
but we do love, delicate beers. Delicate beers are our favorites. Yeah. So.
Yes,
you can email me at brian@thebrewingnetwork.com and I can go over to JP's house and kick his ass for you.
That's true, because that'll do a whole lot.
And then maybe something will happen.
Maybe. Okay, everybody, thanks a lot, and we'll see you later.